And Professor Yaffle. That was Brother Ray Charles there with Shake a Tail Feather. I call him Brother Ray.
Yeah, that's good. You're such a keen churchgoer.
We're very tight. And it's nice to be with you listeners on this cold and frosty morning. Hi, I'm Adam.
Hey, I'm Joe. Welcome to our Ultimate Pen live show here at the BBC. It's our penultimate show.
It's our last live show for a while.
Which is very exciting. We're here with you live until 1 p.m.
Yeah.
And we've got all sorts of stuff and nonsense.
We have got a big overloaded sack of goodies for you.
If you've been missing a little invasive stinky dog that comes into the studio, we might be focusing quite, you know, in quite a sustained way on that dog.
We got a song wars for you, in fact, don't we?
We do.
Kind of.
Well, it's a non-competitive song
exactly.
wars.
Exactly. Christmas song wars.
Yeah, it's like Pipes of Peace.
That's right.
When they had a little footy game.
With a little foot match.
How would you describe that? It's not a song war. It's a song truce.
It's a song armistice, right. I mean, what would happen, though, if, like, back in the trenches, they had the little footy game, and then some yobs got on the pitch, and then, like, a fight broke out, you know, and the British team, the fans ruined it for the...
And they people started using the weapons they were using for the proper war.
Yeah.
But just after shooting people going, I don't mean it.
And then Danny Dyer turns up. He steams in there. He goes steaming in. And he goes steaming in like with the Germans and then with the British as well. Don't care. He's steaming in. No, nut. Boot. You know? And
that
he just
would be
ruins.
Typical of football hooliganism and violence. Always ruining the game.
It would ruin the whole war, though, as well. I mean, the stench would absolutely pollute the rest of the jolly good war.
Well, thank God it's just a fantasy.
Thank goodness it didn't happen, because the chaps kept their end up. Listen, I went to wash my hands after visiting the little man's room just before the show, and then I dried them on the paper towels in there.
Mm.
They smell of vomit. Mm. The paper towels just smell of puke. Have you noticed that?
What a sort of scent they've permeated.
I don't know. I don't know if it's deliberately puke-scented, but it's strong and lingering.
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to have to do? I'm going to have to use some hand cream.
Do that. Put some hand sanitizer on.
Put some hand cream.
Hand cream will just rub the stink in. Let's talk about that more while we have a little bit of music. What's this song? Christmas Baby Please Come Home by Slow Club. Is that what it is? They're a folk rock duo from Sheffield, England. My mouth's just warming up. I cycled in.
Did you?
I've got icicles on my nose.
Oh, the tops of my ears are nearly coming off.
I need to defrost a little.
Yeah.
This is Slow Club.
There you go, Slow Club, and there's a picture of them on our info sheet here. The guy, it's two people, a man and a lady. The man looks a little bit like Ross from Friends.
A little bit.
And the lady looks a little bit like Phoebe from Friends. And they're sat in just their front room.
Well, it looks like a sort of slightly retro front room, doesn't it? They've got an old-style heater there.
Yeah.
Looks a little bit 60s. 50s, 60s. I don't know, but that was nice, wasn't it? It was a cover of Darlene Love's Christmas classic, which was penned by Phil Spector. There's some info for you, Adam.
Very nice.
And I was just slapping my face there, listeners, to try and get myself awake, because I was feeling a little bit sluggish. I was slapping my own face. Do you ever do that?
I don't do it.
It's like when you tickle yourself and one doesn't react.
Yeah.
As hard as I can slap myself, it doesn't really feel that.
Do you want me to slap you?
Well, I was thinking, because that would really hurt, wouldn't it? I mean, that would shock me. But you can't really get the same effect when you slap yourself. It's because somewhere deep down one holds back.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah, of course,
Do you think you could actually give yourself a really shocking, surprising slap in the face? Probably.
Probably the Jackass guys could do that.
Yeah.
Don't you reckon?
And what were you saying there when you saw me slapping my face?
Well, that my wife sometimes does it when she's driving along the motorway.
To try and keep herself desperately awake while she's driving at high speeds.
Exactly, with our family in the back.
It's not very relaxing.
And I say to her, like, don't do that. That's not inspiring confidence in the passengers there.
What if she slapped herself too hard and slapped herself unconscious? Do you ever have fantasies when you're driving in the car about what would happen if the driver lost control?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you ever go through the basic actions you take?
What do you do first? You reach across to the wheel.
Well, handbrake and wheel would be my thing.
Handbrake you're going to go for on the motorway?
Well, how do you get to the foot brake?
Push their lifeless
Push the foot down. What if it slips off the thing?
And goes onto the accelerator.
I mean, the way to avoid that is to do like Short Round does in Temple of Doom. And actually, he just ties a box to his foot, doesn't he? So he can reach the pedal. But if you tied your wife's foot to the pedal, to the brake, then you guarantee, simply by depressing the knee, you could gain control of the brake.
That wouldn't be the only thing that was depressed at that point. What about just tying a... Come on! What about just tying a box to your foot as a matter of course before you get into a car as a passenger?
That's a good idea. So you can quickly swing your foot over the gear stick.
That should be in the highway code.
The other way to go is to... Hold on to your potatoes, Dr. Jones!
Grab onto the steering wheel with your left hand, say, and with your right hand reach under and push down on the brake to slow the car down. I mean, that's a risky
Some people have been in this situation. When you watch the Pride of Britain Awards, most of the kids have done that.
Yeah.
A lot of kids have to do that when their dads pass out. I've seen very moving stories about that kind of thing, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
Little kids saving their parents when they drop off at the wheel.
Yes.
Is this festive?
It is, yeah.
It's a festive
convo.
That's
what it's all about.
Hey, listen, we should get into Black Squadron listeners. Black Squadron are the elite, are the slightly less elite listening force.
You are very...
That listen to this programme. Well, we can't belittle the achievements of the original Black Squadron.
Right.
Hardcore Squadron. They were up at 9.
But these are the same people.
Yeah, but they're the same people, but who've had about an hour's more kit.
Okay.
Well, not kit, but they just haven't been focusing.
Well, here's your jingle, Squadron. Black Squadron!
Always catch the beginning of the show. Black Squadron don't want to miss a thing. That's not the way Black Squadron roll.
Black Squadron!
Went to bed at a reasonable hour. Sharp on Saturday morning. That's the secret of the squadron's power.
Black Squadron!
And yeah, we're going to issue a command in a second. The idea is that we issue a command, a sort of verbal theme, and we'd like you to take a photo on that verbal theme and send it to us at 64046 or email it to us, adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk, and then your pictures will go up on our blog on the website. I mean, that's good enough, isn't it?
It's great.
It's an amazing reward. And last week's response was a little bit, what's the word? Well, not amazingly impressive, comparatively speaking.
It was whelming rather than overwhelming.
Yeah, we got about 100 photos on the blog there. We usually get about 150. So I think that was because the command was a bit confusing. It was prehistoric life and it maybe wasn't specific enough. This week we focus grouped our Black Squadron command, and it's very specific, and you'll know exactly what to do when you hear it. So stand by those cameras. And we're going to have I tell you what the other thing I should say is, texts will be charged at your standard message rate.
Thank you, Dermot. We want a record-breaking response, Squadron, because
it almost sounded like you went into the Queen there for a moment.
We want a...
A record-breaking response of London Theatre.
Oh, no, that sounded like you did go into her. That sounded just like her.
That was a lot like her, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it was weird. I can do a good Queen impression. What can I tell you? We want a record-breaking response, right? Because it's the last live Black Squadron command for a little while. So, and it's a nice seasonal one as well. And also, I have a free play coming up as soon as Joe issues the command. It's the first of my favorite free play choices. Like, my favorite songs that I have played as free plays over the last couple of years.
Nice.
And this one is going to be by Spoon, and it's called, appropriately enough, Black Like Me, from their album Gar Gar.
Terrific.
Gar, Gar. So, Black Squadron, stand by for your command.
Here we go, Black Squadron. Your command this week is Human Christmas Tree.
Is that geezer running around shouting in the background?
I don't know. I'm having a look at the Black Squadron photos, and there's some terrific interpretations of the command, which was Human Christmas Tree. There's a guy here. He's obviously got... What's he done there? Has he got two Christmas trees? Or has he actually chopped his Christmas tree in two for the sake of the command? Because there's sort of a Christmas tree that goes up to...
You know what he's done?
What's he done?
A artificial Christmas tree that comes in sections.
Ah, and he's detached the top section and inserted his head.
Quite right.
So it looks as if he's part of a Christmas tree and put a hat on top. That's very good. I mean, there's all sorts of very effective interpretations here. She's just wrapped some beads around her. What's her name? Her name is DSC00041.
There's a apparently nude lady as well with a bit of tinsel draped
there's another
around.
One. Oh, looks a little bit young.
Good effort.
what about that one? He's just inserted a bauble into his mouth and two other baubles in the eyes.
He looks
this
weird.
This is very inventive. What's his name? Uncle Zacky.
That's good stuff. We should keep the Black Squadron lines open a little longer than normal, don't you think?
I think so. Certainly because we're getting a certain amount of topless photos in with tinsel over the private bits.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's keep the gates open.
Let's keep it open until at least 10 o'clock today, okay, Black Squadron, so you can continue to take photographs of yourselves as human Christmas
trees. I mean,
that's
not the actual reason we're going to keep it open.
Obviously not. It's not a prurient reason that we're doing it. We're doing it for fun. In the name of fun. Now, listen, it's nearly Christmas. This is kind of our... We've got a Christmas pre-record that's going out next week at this time.
Do you think Christmas pre-records are acceptable? Like, my lady partner was watching Jamie Oliver's festive family feast on telly, and I was watching it. I was thinking, well, this was no doubt filmed in October.
Yeah.
They were having all the fireworks and stuff, but there were plenty of leaves on the trees when they went outside. It clearly wasn't Christmas.
Yeah.
So you just got the impression that Jamie and his extended family had been written large checks by Channel 4 to just turn up at a big house in October and have a pretend Christmas party. Mm-hmm. Do you know, it felt a little bit weird.
That's the reality of TV production, though, Jobo.
It's lies, and the British public won't stand for lies in the media anymore.
That's true.
I think there should be an outrage about Jamie's pre-recorded Christmas farce!
Well, they should declare at the beginning of the programme, this programme was recorded in midsummer.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. I mean, maybe it wasn't. It might have been recorded just a few weeks ago. Our Christmas pre-record was recorded a couple of weeks ago, so it was a wintry affair.
Yeah.
And we, I mean, I used the word a couple.
A wintry affair.
Yeah, it was wintry. We warmed our cockles with alcohol and
it's
exchanged...
It's one of my favourite Jilly Cooper novels.
Presents, warmed my cockles with alcohol.
No, a wintry affair.
But our producer, James, has got little presents for us on our desks this morning. As you come in. I mean, I feel bad, James. I haven't got you any. Do you want a grape?
Here's a rubber ball. It's bouncy.
Ball and a grape.
A bouncy ball. So we're going to open these presents from
James. From my dad this year.
Look, it's a T-shirt.
Oh, here you go.
Wow. It's a Kill Boggins T-shirt.
Oh, wow.
Look at that. Now, who did that drawing? That drawing's by a listener, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the drawing that's up on our...
On our blog. We're going to dig out the name of the person who did that design.
This guy gave me this design when he came to a gig that I did at the 100 Club.
Did you have these specially made, James? Wow.
That's brilliant, James.
That's
Thanks
very
a lot,
brilliant.
Man.
How very touching.
I've got a Save Boggins one and Joe's got a Kill Boggins one.
Really?
Yeah. That's perfect. This is the theme of our Song Wars today, listeners. So later on in the programme, maybe, I don't know, in the next hour or so, Joe and myself are going to unveil our pro and anti-Boggins songs. I'm doing Save Boggins, broadly speaking, and Joe's doing a Kill Boggins song. So there's that to look forward to. Also, we have a kind of Boggins panto for you a bit later on in the show, maybe towards the very end. But right now, here's a bit more music for you. This is Sly and the Family Stone with Everyday People. It's a bit of a woolly manifesto he's got there, and so on and so on and Scooby Dooby Dooby.
It's fine. You don't need to go into the details. It's a broad swipe of a manifesto.
I think that's what Gordon Brown's speech at Copenhagen was basically.
Yeah, well, that's what they're all agreeing on.
So on and Scooby Dooby Dooby, and
they've agreed on Scooby Dooby Dooby.
We should be fine. Yeah, it's the and so on that's the sticking point.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to commit to that.
Hey, listen, these Black Squadron photos have really taken off now. People are starting to put the old fairy lights around the body. You must be very careful, obviously, not to electrocute yourselves. And if you do, we take no responsibility whatsoever. But it looks very fantastic. For instance, there's a picture of a young lady called Rihanna from Wantage, who looks simply spectacular with some dangerous lights wrapped around her body.
She's bedecked.
Look at this one as well. He's got blue lights and he's doing a kind of motion blur thing. Oh, he's standing in a bucket with... Oh, I think we'd better close that one.
He doesn't seem to be wearing trousers or pants.
It's a little bit unsettling. You never know quite what you're going to get when you click on these photos. They come through thumbnail size, so you can't see the detail. And you double-click them and wallop!
That's right. Something looks
Sometimes it's quite shocking.
In the thumbnail, it might look like baubles. And then you double-click it.
The Wyatt family in Winchester have sent a photo of Sam, aged 12, with some baubles hanging off his index fingers quite gracefully there and a mini cracker in his mouth.
Oh, that's nice.
Very touching, very Christmassy. Please keep these coming in. As Adam just announced, we will keep the Black Squadron floodgates open until 10 o'clock. It's unprecedented festive expansion.
This time next week, boy, it's all going to be over.
Will it be? When is Christmas? Is it Friday?
Friday.
So this time next week
it's
will
be Boxing Day, isn't it?
Boxing Day. I do like Boxing Day.
I like Boxing Day. Sometimes you get the best movies on Boxing Day.
The best movies.
The best movie.
Oh, I can't believe the best movie.
Lara.
Why does everything just end up as Silla?
Because it all gravitates back to...
It's like Godzilla. It's
genius.
Taking over all
Godzilla.
Comedy voices.
It's 10:30. Here's the news. What's it called when you have that kind of chord there at the end, that little change in mood.
Bob.
Bob.
Yeah.
Nice use of Bob there by the Guillemots. That was Trains to Brazil.
Thank you. It's erratum time.
Is it?
Erratum.
Time to put right some wrongs.
Yeah, I just said that the Black Squadron floodgates will be open until 10. Of course it's till 11. I made some timing-based mistakes last week as well.
Well, a couple of weeks back you said we started an hour earlier.
Yeah.
Whereas, of
that's
course,
what I was referring
we started
to.
An hour later. I've got a little correction here, actually, on a couple of points from Neil, 21, in Tyne and Wear. Just wanted to point out that the ultrasound guy joke, which we told a couple of weeks back, which you told, Joe, has been told many times before. I even heard it on the Chris Moyles show once.
Oh, God.
Ooh, bad one. Also, he says, we were talking about some guy who is going to have a themed party for the year, for the date 12-12-12, and I couldn't figure out why. And he said he was going to invite lots of roadies. Of course, it's because roadies say 1-2-1-2-1-2.
Yeah.
So that's their roadie party on 12-12-12. He says, also, to contribute to Texanation, we're just about to do retro Texanation, I used to think that contact lenses were made from glass they're used in spectacles. I was recently corrected by an attractive lady who I got into a conversation about with... Oh, this is rubbish. I shouldn't have read that bit.
I like that I was recently corrected by an attractive lady.
Yeah.
But you know, when Adam and I make mistakes, we tend to just ignore them. But then, because we do read all the correspondence we get, sometimes you just get an avalanche of people correcting you.
Thanks for those, incidentally, Neil. I wasn't implying that your whole message was rubbish. Yeah. I appreciated it.
We appreciate the vigilance of our listeners.
Very much so.
Putting things right.
Very much so. But isn't it nice to know that you can relax for a while, listeners? And we'll just be getting things wrong in our own life
with
no one to put us right except our nearest and dearest. And they're too frightened to do so. Shall we have the Retro Text the Nation jingle?
Yes.
I like to listen to Adam and Joe, but I listen to the podcast, not the live show. I used to feel acute frustration, because I couldn't join in with Text the Nation. But now my troubles have disappeared, because Retro Text the Nation's here. And now my letter might be read out, instead of thrown in the trash and forgotten about.
There we go, a special Christmas treat, listeners. We had bin and trash there simultaneously. That was created by a listener whose name is Dan Harris, especially to placate bin haters or bin lovers, trash haters and trash lovers.
That is beautiful. It's a beautiful sentiment for this time of year. The melging of the bin and the trash.
Melging? That's a fusion between merging and melding.
Yeah. What do you call this? That's a portmanteau word, isn't it?
Is it?
I believe so.
Like it.
Here is Retro Text the Nation this week, listeners. It's about homemade presents. Best or worst that you ever done or got. Yeah? And we had some very nice ones in last week. There's a picture on the blog of the Jabba the Hutt poo, I believe. Is that up there already, James?
We were talking about that last week.
Here's a message from Mark Tyler. Dear Han Jolo, an old bucky one. please find attached the poo with the face. Jabba the Poo is currently in Essex and I am in Switzerland. So please thank my sister Penny Tyler for sending the picture to me. Love you, bye, Mark Tyler. It's a very amusing little Jabba the Poo, not revolting in any way, just heartwarming.
So it's made of clay.
It's made of clay, right?
Yeah,
not actual
and it's green.
Feces.
Yeah.
So go to, what's the blog address? Here it is.
Here it is.
bbc.co.uk/blog/AdamandJoe, all one word. And you'll find a cornucopia of delights.
So here are the best retrospective entries we got for last week's Text the Nation. Here's one from Dave Moore. I've edited this down a bit for impact.
That's right.
My student girlfriend, who is now my ex, made me a plaster cast of her boobs
for
Christmas.
I had this one.
Great boobs, great present. Dave Moore.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, I edited it down for impact. Do you want to read the rest of it out?
Sure, I like it.
I mean, the rest of it goes into how he used them to keep keys in.
Yes.
And he put them on the top of the wardrobe. And then eventually he floated them down to Thames, in a Viking-style burial little candles on them.
Exactly, because he said it was a little bit weird, like when, after he stopped going out with the girl who made the plaster cast of her boobs, and he started going out with other girls, questions were, you know, not surprisingly asked. about where his head was at.
Whose are those boobs in the corner?
I mean, that's totally unacceptable,
Dave,
isn't it?
Whose are those boobs? They're not mine. Whose are they in the corner on the wardrobe? Whose are those boobs? Where they're looking at me. It's very disconcerting for a woman to have more than one pair in the
and
house.
And for a man, I think. You know, a lot of Dave Moore's guests were asking questions about where Dave's
head. Well, it's like one of those portraits that follows you around the room.
Yes, exactly. Especially if she'd done it on a cold day, the plaster cast. But that's a good present. That is a good present.
Done it on a cold day.
I mean, in the 60s, they had plaster casts of all parts of the body.
Yeah.
And it's gone out of fashion a little bit, I feel. But maybe something to bring back.
Well, in the 60s, people used to have those plaster casts on their front doors, didn't they?
Did they?
That's what you used to do to sort of mark your territory, yeah.
Plaster casts of your Julies, we're talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just in the 60s, hung on the front of your house.
That's right. Jimi Hendrix
tradition.
Had his as a big door knocker.
It went out at the end of the 60s.
Good message, though. Thanks, Dave. And, you know...
Let's have another one quickly, otherwise we're going to run out of time.
Do
some more.
Here's one from Nick Dollings. He says, hello, my blind grandmother was a dab hand with the knitting needle. One year, she knitted my brother a bottle green chunky knit sweater. What made it really special, though, was the two tassels she added where his nipples would be. One tassel for each nipple. She's no longer with us. Cheerio, Nick Dollings. That's nice, though, isn't it?
That's very nice.
What was Granny thinking about that?
She couldn't see, isn't that the point?
Yeah, but she's made the tassels. What was she...
Everyone loves tassels on a jumper.
I put a couple of tassels over for your nipples.
Why, Granny?
Because then you can make them spin
to
around.
To make them jazzy, spin around, that kind of thing. You can still be warm, but have the fun of a dancing girl.
Thank you so much,
Dave in Belfast says, I once photocopied the listings for Christmas Eve, Christmas Day and Boxing Day from the Festive Radio Times. Then I highlighted my recommendations with a little commentary on the side, unmissable, avoid, simply must see, stinker, etc. It went down an absolute treat. I did the photocopy on a nice big A3 page for ease of use. It's the dream gift for any TV lover for the holiday season.
I don't know about that being like the main gift. I would say
I think he blew it up to A3 and he probably, I mean, I'm guessing here, he probably mounted them on some polyboard.
Okay, he laminated it or something.
Possibly. And then gave them as gifts. I think that's
even
very
so,
good.
I don't know if that's a dream gift. I would call
he
that...
He says, it went down an absolute treat. Yeah. It is the dream gift.
It is the dream gift, so I'm wrong. But I would think that in my house that would be considered more of a dream accessory, not like the main present.
Yeah, but it's time-saving.
So, darling, I think you're really going to like what I've got. You've got me a laminated... photocopy of the listings.
Shall we watch Noel's Christmas presents? Well, let's just check. Stinker. No, let's not. Dave says it's a stinker.
This is the best gift I've ever got.
Saving me so much time. Any more?
That's it for me.
Oh, I've got lots more, but maybe we should play.
Let's have some more later on, yeah. Here's the mode. Did you know that Depeche Mode fans are called moders?
Yes.
This is Fragile Tension.
With unusual sort of farting sound on the end of that record.
That's electronic noises from Depeche Mode there. That was Fragile Tension. Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. It's our last
stats.
Show for a while.
Stats time.
Give us some stats.
Black Squadron photo count is 104 and Lucy still hasn't counted them all in and there's still 10 minutes to go to get your human Christmas tree photo in. We want to try and break the 150 mark.
Come on.
It's like the Blue Peter Totalizer. But not for charity.
Text number if you want to text us photos of yourself dressed as a Christmas tree, 64046, or you can email them to adamandjoe.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk. Texts will be charged at your standard message rate. So bear that in mind when you dress yourself up as a Christmas tree. If you want them charged at some kind of special message rate, tough luck! I got to be strong. Just keep pushing on. There's always going to be another mountain. I'm always going to want to make it move. Always going to be an uphill battle. Sometimes you're going to have to lose. Ain't about how fast I get there. Ain't about what's waiting on the other side. It's the climb.
This is really moving, man. Is this just off the top of your head? Is this spontaneous?
I'm freestyling because it's the last show.
It's really inspiring, though.
Yeah, you know, it's a little bit like Terry Wiggins when he bowed out yesterday. He had a very emotional show. Did you hear that?
I didn't hear it.
It's wonderful. Absolutely uplifting.
Was it?
Yeah, he made a wonderful speech at the end.
Has he gone for good, then?
No, he said he's back in February.
Did he?
At the end. Till we're back together in February.
But he's changing his slot, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean...
He's having his slot removed and put somewhere else.
Yeah, they're, he's having the slot operation.
He's in hospital till February, having the slot moved.
The operation itself doesn't take long, but it takes a while to recover from
it. Yeah, it's just very sore and raw.
Your old tubes coming out of him.
Don't, for God's sake, don't use it till it's fully... fully healed.
Otherwise, all kinds of damage could be done. No, but his show, like his morning breakfast slot.
Oh.
Wake Up with Wiggins. That came to an end. And it was really emotional.
It was in all the papers.
So I'm trying to do
don't
the same
thing. Don't
see
anything about us in the papers.
No. Well, we didn't. You know, we've only been here 2 years, so. Ain't about what's waiting on the other side. It's the climb. Keep on moving. Keep climbing. Keep the faith, baby. I'm talking to you, listeners. It's all about the climb. Keep the faith. Keep your faith.
What is this?
What do you mean, what is this?
Some new soul to soul.
It's the Christmas
record.
Number one, isn't it?
Is it?
It's going to be.
Unless, is that what Joe Thingy is singing?
Rage Against the Swear Box have anything to do with it. Yeah, that's Joe McElderry.
No way.
With his pretty plastic face. He's handsome, don't you think?
Do you think? Of course he's handsome. Yeah, he's handsome.
Has
he looks
got
like a Jeff Koons sculpture.
He does, absolutely. Mm. You know, faultless porcelain man. But does he have any kind of discernible personality?
Of course he does.
Of course he does.
They've just tried to limit it and control it.
It just seems unbelievable to me that he would have the trifecta, the amazing voice, the wonderful looks, which he undoubtedly has, and the personality? Surely not. Come on. I mean, so far he's hiding it. But I don't know if he's going to bring out the big guns when it really counts and suddenly unleash the personality.
Well, what kind of personality do you think it's going to be?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. What kind of personality do you reckon he's got under there?
I think really belligerent and rude and foul-mouthed.
Right, right.
And really filthy.
Because at the moment he's keeping it all
He seems very anodyne
down.
And cute, but I don't think that's the truth at all. I think he's got some really quite shocking tattoos. Just under the very top of his shirt collar is a really quite breathtaking word. That if he just looked up too high, it would pop out from under his collar and it would make mums and dads blush.
What kind of word? Front, spelled F-R-U-N-T.
Something along those lines.
Something. Oh, my goodness. Best of luck, Joe McElderry, with that climb. Here's. Oh, this is your free play now, Joe.
Yeah, was this... What is this? It's a bit of King Creosote. Yeah. This is good. This is called Drop Your Bombshell.
Love it. That's the specials there with Ghost Town. Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. Nice to be with you, listeners. Just gone 11 o'clock. Time check for you there. Don't usually do them, but, you know, it's a Christmas gift for you. You can have that. It's free. You can put it with your laminated copy of the TV listings. Do you ever watch Dickinson's Real Deal, Joe?
It comes on every morning.
It does.
There are a couple of shows that come on every morning. There's a man in a suit that goes looking around people's houses.
There's a lot of them.
He looks very tired. He does it he's been doing it every morning for the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Taking a deep breath and then talking about some really blank kitchen.
He hasn't got his own house.
Swanage or
He's
something.
He's an itinerant.
I feel sorry for him.
Yeah.
Dickinson, I feel less sorry for.
Where did Dickinson start? Was he Bargain Basement Hunt or something?
I don't know. He was an expert on one of those.
He's a ridiculous, if you don't know for some reason who he is, he's a ludicrous oily man who does, he's an antiques expert.
He's orange.
He's orange, he's got a larger than life personality, he seems like an amiable fellow, and he, on Dickinson's Real Deal, he and a team of so-called experts evaluate things that people have brought in.
Evaluate?
Isn't that the word?
Rather than evaluate.
Well, no, evaluate is something else. Evaluate is specifically about putting a monetary value on something. I think so, yeah. To evaluate, you can do without
actually it was just evaluate.
Talking specifically about money. I may be wrong.
Oh, right. Anyway,
They've got like a little coterie of experts, all of whom have variously outrageous personalities.
Yes.
One of them. Have you seen the sort of very flamboyant...
Is this the one where they try and offer them money?
Yeah.
And the person has to refuse the
That's
money.
The
it's
one.
Got a bit of deal or no deal in
That's
there.
That's the one.
And they have the money fan... Oh, no, he counts it onto the table, doesn't he? And it's pathetic amounts.
That's right.
Like, it's about £6.
Yeah.
£4. Oh, what about £5? Well, then what about £6?
So someone brings their Toby Jones. jug collection or whatever, and they put them on the table. And he's saying, I like... And there's like an outrageously flamboyant Queenie guy there, right?
Always got to be one of those.
Who looks... I mean, he looks like a caricature, a sort of offensive caricature of a flamboyant queen that would come out of a sitcom in the 70s, right? Got weirdly dyed hair and a very loud garish shirt, loads of jangly gold jewellery on and stuff. And he kind of talks like this. And he says, right, look at your Toby jugs. Okay, I'm thinking, what do you think? What do you want for them? And the person says, well, before you answer, I'm going to put down £10. And the person says, I was hoping for a little bit more. Okay. Mm. What about if I put down another £5? Is that good? Or would you want more? It's weird. Like, obviously, they're going to always want more. So it's... and they always look very embarrassed, the people with their objects, because it's a sort of shameful thing they're doing. They're going on TV and they're sitting there with their Toby jugs or whatever, and they're just asking people for money. Can I have a bit more money? Please, can I have a bit more money? You know what would be great is if you gave me a tiny bit more money. It's such a weird show.
It is an odd show. It's a step away from just rifling through bins, don't you think?
Yeah.
That would be a good morning show as well.
I mean, they don't really need the objects. You know what I mean? They could just do it without, like, with a person going up to a presenter looking a bit embarrassed. Right. Hello, nice to meet you, Charlotte. Now, how much money would you like? I'd like, please, could I have about £20? No. I'm going to give you £15. Is that okay? Well, I was hoping for 20. I'm not going to give you that, though. There's £15. I'm sorry. There's no way I'm going to give you 20. Off you go. Thanks a lot. Bye. That's how it's going to end up. You know, they'll just cut out the middleman.
Get rid of the objects. That's a good idea for a show.
Yeah, do you reckon?
Yeah, I think so.
Can I have some money?
Especially during these hard-hit recessionary times.
Give us some money.
Just give us some money. You could ask the person what they might do for the money.
Yes.
Could be a late night program.
Right. With some flamboyant, colourful prose on it. Yeah, yeah. It's a nice idea. Here's Sugar Hill Gang with Apache.
Got a much brighter delivery style in the old days of rap, don't you think?
Yeah, they really did.
Everything goes up like this.
Like salesmen or something. How would you like to do a bit of rap? A rap, 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 rap. I like rapping so much. I'm always rapping. Rap, rap. I could be a rapper, couldn't I?
They should bring that style back. It's much more upbeat.
That's right. I'm absolutely furious. I've shot you in the head. I'm a gangster rapper from the hood.
That's a very cliched view of hip-hop there.
I'm fusing two genres.
Reductive.
Is it?
Very reductive.
You say that, but then when you actually listen to hip-hop, it's generally like that.
Depends what you listen to. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. Good morning, listeners. We've got a sort of a Song Wars type thing to do now.
That's right.
Song Wars hasn't been around for a while for various medical and personal reasons, but it's back to celebrate our penultimate program here on BBC Six Music until our little bit of a break next year.
Last live show. So let's have the Song Wars jingle. Oh. Hey.
It's time for Song Wars, the war of the songs. A couple of tunes by a couple of prongs. Which will you vote for? Which one is the best? We're putting our songs to the listener test. So check it out.
Now, we should both apologise if our Song Wars efforts are a tiny bit slapdash this week.
Yeah. Also, I mean, it's a double slap in the face in a way because they are Boggins-based.
Yeah, this might be unpopular with a certain, you know, section of the listenership, but don't worry, if you hate Boggins, your feelings will be represented in one of the songs.
Joe is responsible for a anti-Boggins song, right?
Yeah.
And I'm doing...
Well, I got allocated it.
Yeah. And I'm doing a broadly pro-Boggins song.
Yeah.
So we're going to flip a coin and see who plays their song first.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. What are you calling?
Being flipped. I'm calling for heads. If it's heads, I go first.
Heads, you go first. It's tails.
It's tails, I go seconds.
You go seconds.
So introduce your song for the listeners here. And we should say that this is a non-competitive festive Song Wars. You don't need to vote. You can just fight amongst yourselves at home.
You just sit back, relax, and let the rubbish flow over you, like being caught beneath a bin. Ooh, smooth. Anyway, here's my Boggins song. It is... I'm not going to say too much about it. I think it speaks for itself. It's Cri du Coeur from The Stinky Man, and here it is.
Hey, everybody's trying to kill me. I don't even know what I've done. I only tried to lick their face and bite their legs a little bit. Some people want to shoot me or chop me into little pieces, because I stink and I'm a disgrace and not funny. I love you. I just want to scamp around your house, leaving mud all over the place. Hope you don't mind. And if I see a little baby, I'm gonna lick its little face. I got a problem with my bum zone. I think that is my anal glands. I drag my bum across the carpet and it smells. Sorry. Rawr, 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 rawr. Oh dear. Hope you don't mind about that. Oh, sorry. Please don't kill me, cause I really love you. I'm sorry that I chewed your shoes, and I'm sorry that you put them on and found those boots. To make up for it, I found your clean sheets and rolled around on top of them, and then I left a little gift beneath for you. It was a poo. Everybody's trying to kill me, even though I'm sweet and kind. I just want to itch my sore behind. Itch. I just drank all the water in the lab, I think you're fine. Refreshing. I just ate a bird and then I threw it up too. I just done a poo and ate that too. Oh, I just done a poo.
There you go.
Wow, that's powerful stuff there.
I'm sorry it was so long.
It was long, wasn't it? You went for the full 3.5 years.
I could have obviously edited it down, but I
No, it was good, it was good, it was good, it was good. There you go. So there's was that the Proboggin song?
That was broadly Proboggin.
I mean, it's a tricky subject, isn't it? Because there's only a limited number of things to say about Boggins.
We're going to find out what Joe's angle was.
My song has quite similar lyrical content.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but of course, you know, I don't do the voice as well as you, so it's not looking good for cornballs. But stay tuned to hear the anti-Boggins song.
After a bit of real music from Ben Folds 5, here's the Battle of Who Could Care Less. Very nice. That's Ben Folds 5 with the Battle of Who Could Care Less. Time now to get back into our special Boggins-based Song Wars battle this week. We could even have another Song Wars jingle, could we, James? Or is there... Have you got a different one on there? Sorry, I sprang that on you a little bit. Nah.
No, good. Can't have it.
No, it would be rude. It would be rude to have it, in fact.
Oh,
Nah. Boop. Danny Dyer, steady on. So now it's Joe's turn to play his anti-Boggins song.
So a lot of you might have read the extraordinary news in the paper.
Yeah.
About Andrew Lloyd Webber.
No.
And his Boggins musical. Did you not hear that?
No, I didn't hear about
it. Well, Andrew Lloyd Webber, I'm surprised it's been in all the papers. He's a huge fan of the show.
Yeah.
And he announced this week that he is putting on a musical.
Is he?
Based on Boggins.
Of course.
Which is very exciting.
Next
and not only that,
step for the
I can't
Webster.
Believe you haven't heard
Neither
about
can
this.
I. I'm amazed.
The other thing he's doing is a BBC reality series.
Yeah.
Called How Do You Solve a Problem Like Boggins?
And hosted by Mark Barrowman or John Barrowman.
Yes, Barrowman will be there as well. And They're going across the country to find the country's stinkiest dogs.
John Barrowman.
And doing a 58,000-week series. 58,000 weeks. Isn't that incredible?
That's not long enough.
It's not long enough, is it? And they're going to find the perfect dog to play Boggins. But what I'm going to play you is a song from that musical, and it's a sort of a fantasy sequence about the death of Boggins.
Yeah.
So don't take it too seriously or anything. It's an imaginary sort of flight of fancy during the musical.
Sure.
But this is a song called Kill Boggins.
B-O-G-G-I-N-S. He eats dead birds and smells of death. He pukes them up on the carpet. But he's oh so terribly sweet. B-O-G-G-I-N-S. He licks his bits, then licks your face. He rubs his bum on the carpet, but he's oh so terribly ill. Why do all the listeners hate him so? Why do people say he's lame and bringing down the show? Kill Boggins. Kill Boggins. B-O-G-G-I-N-S. It's R-U. B-I-S-H. He urinates on the carpet, 'cause he's oh so terribly old. Put him in a boat, push him out to sea. Lock him in a cellar, throw away the key. Kill Boggins. Kill Boggins.
B-O-G-G-I-N-S. His sentence passed, condemned to death. He does a poo on the carpet, then he oh so terribly dies.
I love you. I'm going now. Bye. That reminds me of your song for
all my other songs.
No, but what was it? The one for? Oh, I can't remember. Yeah, it's classic Cornish.
It's classic Cornish, because Cornish always clicks open GarageBand and never adjusts any of the settings.
Do you know? I'm always amazed. I can never recognise any of the loops you found.
That was composed.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there we go. That's the
That's from Lloyd Webber's musical.
That's from Lloyd Webber's new musical, Boggins!
Wow.
Exclamation mark. That's opening at the theatre. Next, well, in a few years' time, because it will take them a long time to run this series through to the end.
Yeah. And do you think we could present the sister show?
Or, no, that's the thing. We're not allowed to have anything to do with it, because we're not capable.
Well, there you go, listeners. That's our non-competitive song wars for this, our last live show for a while. Hope you didn't switch off.
Is that an ignominious ending to Song Wars for the time being? No, it's a glorious, amazing send-off.
No, exactly.
For the nation's favourite, one of the nation's favourite features.
Here is Simeon Mobile Disco right now with Beth Ditto singing Cruel Intentions. Ditto with the Simeon Mobile Disco. That's Cruel Intentions. Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. My three plays today are basically my favourite songs.
You just said Cruel Intentions. I was thinking about the film Cruel Intentions.
Are you, right?
Do you remember that film, Cruel Intentions? Quite a good film.
Ryan Philippe.
It's got some quite shocking moments in it.
Was that one of the ones based on a Shakespeare? No, that was...
Les Liaisons Dangereuses.
It's
a contemporisation.
That's Hathaway in there, isn't it?
Is it?
I think... Or is she in 10 Things I Hate About You? I can't remember. No, Hathaway is in there. She plays the sort of ingenue. Anyway, it's a wonderful film, and I'm going to go home and watch it tonight with my family.
Oh, don't let the kids watch it.
Even the saucy parts. Here's a free play. This is one of my favourite songs that I've played as a free play the last couple of years. This is a German rapper.
A German rapper.
And he's called Thomas D. I think he's in a German rap outfit called the Fantastic Four. Die Fantastischen Vier. And this is called Liebesbrief, though. This is a solo effort. I think Liebesbrief is a love letter. And it's a lovely bit of German rapping from Thomas D. Here it is. That's Thomas D. with Liebesbrief. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. It's 11:30 and time for the news.
It's the Lemonheads with Mrs. Robinson, released in 1992. It's a cover of a song by Simon and Garfunkel.
Is it? And it was originally appeared in the film Beethoven's Fifth.
Correct. Directed by Mike Nichols, starring Dustin Hoffman as that big, lovable, chaotic dog.
Boggins.
bugging.
I just went to the lavvy again and washed my hands there. I brought in some towels for you to smell,
Joe. You're obsessed with these towels. I really don't. Why would I want to smell them?
Because I want to feel like I'm not insane.
Get James to smell
them. The towels in the lavvy smell.
Are you saying they actually...
The paper
someone
towels.
Has been
no,
sick
no,
on
no,
them.
They haven't been sick on them. It's the way they're manufactured. Smell them.
Oh, no, that's not... No, that smells more like a burnt, like a match.
What?
Like a struck match.
No, it never is. That is vomit. That is the smell, no. The pure smell no. of vomit. Like, try washing your hands and then drying them with that. My hands...
No, it doesn't smell anything like what you're suggesting
disgusting.
It smells like. Does it to you, James?
Absolutely disgusting.
There's a touch of it. A little
well, you know...
Touche.
A touch of vomit.
Oh, yeah.
I went into a big department store yesterday to get some of my Christmas presents sorted, and I went into the perfume section. Like, do you ever buy your lady partner sort of classic lady gifts?
You know, I don't think I have ever bought her perfume.
Or, like, underwear or something
like
lady-based.
Did you get some free squirts?
Yeah, I got a couple of free squirties from the ladies.
Really? Did they squirt man smells on you or lady smells?
I don't know.
Well,
disgusting.
Why was it disgusting?
The idea of them squirting lady smells on me.
Come on. It's lovely. Anyway, a lot of the smells are gender ambiguous now. Anyway,
that's right, yeah.
They?
Yeah, yeah. But it was... I mean, this is a cliche, but why is it? It's one of those cliches that is never really properly accounted for. Well, I suppose it's self-evident. But it's a cliche that you go into those makeup counters and the perfume areas in those big department stores, and the ladies in there... I mean, they look insane. They've got so much makeup on.
Yeah.
It's just mad. But you'd think if they were selling you makeup and stuff and beauty products, then maybe they would apply them with some kind of restraint in order to make the idea appealing somehow.
Well, it's like a kid working in a sweet shop, isn't it? Putting on right. lots of weight. They just get excited with all those products around and can't help but slap it all over.
Smear it all over themselves. Yeah. And the other thing is they often have quite bad skin, I've noticed.
Well, because they've got much too much makeup on.
Yeah. But do you think one that was it?
Definitely,
it
yeah. If you wear too much makeup, it'll mess up your skin eventually,
won't it? Get a little spot under there, surely.
What department store was it? You couldn't say.
No, it was a department store favoured by the cast of Absolutely Fabulous,
right.
if you remember.
Right.
And so it's one of the biggies. I was just wandering around in a daze in there. There's some extraordinary people who goes to those places. And Uncle Buckles looked quite out of place. I looked like a sort of tramp that had wandered in.
Yeah.
And everyone was saying, can I help you? What are you doing here? Subtext. And I went into the lingerie section. I was wandering around in there.
And now I love the lingerie section of a major department store because of some of the imagery around the place.
Of course.
It's a very lovely atmosphere for a man to walk into.
Yeah.
Terribly lacy.
Don't you ever feel like, because I was genuinely shopping there for, I hope my wife's not listening to this bit, otherwise one of her surprises is going to be ruined. But I was genuinely doing some wife-based shopping in there. But I always feel as if I have to tell people. Otherwise, they might think I'm just going
buying
in there.
Buying it for yourself.
Or just ogling. I just come in to look at knick-knocks.
Right, there's nothing wrong with that.
Is there not?
No, it can keep a man who's in mental difficulty sane.
A
quick trip to the
lingerie
department.
Invariably, I'm the only man wandering around the lingerie department. And especially with my backpack on and stuff. And I just look like a bit of a tourist.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's some music right now. You know what we're going to do shortly, listeners, is we're going to play some of the continuing efforts of genius that you have sent in on our radio songs, like our radio rambles. We're going to do that after this. This is Frankie and the Heartstrings.
You don't sound particularly confident about that.
I was reading it. The end of it was cut off by the computer screen there, and then I looked. Anyway, this is a boring story. Frankie and the Heartstrings with Hunger. There you go. That was Frankie and the Heartstrings. They're a five-piece. They played their first gig last Christmas.
Oh, well done them.
And have been grafting solidly for a year while holding down full-time jobs working in schools, social care and charity shops.
You know, that's what I want to hear about a contemporary band.
That's
they're
right.
doing something useful for society.
Yeah, proper jobs.
They should be supported. Well done, Frankie and the Heartstrings. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. Now, if you're a regular listener, you might know that a few weeks ago, months ago... years ago even, we did some random singing. on the show apropos of nothing, and a listener decided to sample that singing and put it to music. Since then, this whole thing has snowballed. These two random bits of inconsequential singing were put up on the blog, and we asked you to see what you could do with them, whether you could turn them into jingles. And we've had an avalanche of entries showing off our listeners' amazing production and sort of home studio recording skills, right?
Yeah, and they've done it for no particular reason other than pure joie de vivre.
Ooh la la.
Ooh la la.
So we must have got about 25 different attempts during the week.
Yeah.
Yeah? And we're going to play you some of the best of those right now, whilst saying how grateful we are to every single person who had a go at this, because we got some terrific entries, didn't we? Entries? It's not really an entry. There's nothing to enter. Submissions.
Submissions, exactly. Mm. Here's one right now from someone who calls himself Jake, a.k.a. Just Another DJ. This is the radio one, James. And he says, good day, Cornholio and Swashbuckulies. That's very nice monikers there. Thank you very much, Jake. He says, I made a remix, lots of E's, M's, I's and X's there, of Adam's song. I'm pretty sure you won't be able to play it on air, though, because I use a lot of samples. Don't worry, man. It's cool. We're rolling with it, yeah? He says he's done it in an old school hip hop style. Here it is.
This song is playing on the radio. To the song on the radio. This is the song that is playing right now. Hey ho, come on, let's go. 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 Song on the radio. This is the 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 song on the radio.
Very good. Thanks a lot, Jake, a.k.a. Just Another DJ.
I think there was a bit of Naughty by Nature in there, wasn't there?
I think you're right. Can you identify any of the other ones?
No.
I think Impeach the President by the Honey Dippers and Shadow of Your Smile by Jack McDuff, as well as Hip Hop Hooray.
Very beautifully done.
Yeah, nice work. Here's another one right now. This is from Joe Marsh from Widnes. And he says, this one's a bit more weird. This is the Adam and Joe remix, James. And he says, I've been making music using the Dead Pixel and Joe and Bass aliases for a few months now. I've got a much better song on YouTube if you fancy checking it out, y'all. Hope you're not away for too long, he says. I've been meaning to try and do something with those samples on the blog for ages. Not totally happy with the outcome, but I wanted to get it sent to you before you leave. Cheers, Joe Marsh from Witness. And here's what he's come up with. This is quite insane. And this is the Adam and Joe song remix.
Hey ho, come on, let's go. Hey ho, come on, let's go. Hey ho, come on, let's go. Hey ho,
come on, let's go.
Song is playing on the radio.
It's like Aphex Twin meets Art of Noise, isn't it? It's amazing.
Yeah, meets Yellow. That was good. Very beautiful. Very challenging. It's really making me think about a lot of things.
Yeah.
About robots and technology and
whether we should be exploiting the robots
quite as much. Yep, yep.
Yeah, and one day they're going to rise up and...
I mean, it's just modern-day slavery, isn't
start
it?
Start a war against us,
just because they're not human doesn't mean they don't have feelings.
You know, there's an interesting film about this.
Is there?
It's called Terminator Salvation.
Really?
And
is that an interesting film?
A lot of your questions.
Really?
Yeah. You should really watch it very carefully.
I saw that film the other day. We should discuss that later. All have you seen it?
Yes, I saw it the other day.
Okay.
McGee!
Let's have a little chat about that.
Finally, here, if this was a competition, I dare say this might be the winner. This is Magic John from Shepherd's Bush who sent this in. He says, hi, Adam and Joe. I had originally dismissed the idea of doing one of these. He dismissed it. And then I drank a bottle of wine and decided it was a very good idea indeed. Here's what he came up with.
DJ that's playing the song. The station he works for is the best in the world. The show he presents is number one in the city. Radio is cool, radio is great. Radio is cool, radio is great.
the song on the radio. Listen to the song on the radio. Listen to the song on the radio. Listen to the song on the radio. This is the song that is playing right now.
Extraordinary. You know, it sort of makes the fact that contemporary pop music uses different lyrics for each song seem absurd.
Right.
It would be better if there was just one set of lyrics for all pop.
And everyone had to just use the same...
Everyone would know the words.
Resource, yeah.
And then you would just change the melody and the production style.
That's how music's going to be in the future.
That's how it should be.
And also, that would solve a lot of copyright issues and stuff.
A lot.
A lot of intellectual
And a lot of time.
Property.
Save a lot of time.
Well done, man.
What a good idea.
You've stumbled on a good idea. Thank you so much for to everybody who sent in those songs. You know, as usual, we listen to them all, and we're just sorry that we can't play them all. But we have put a lot of them up on the blog, bbc.co.uk/blogs/Adam and Joe. We'll be putting up more as well, even after we're off the air. Thanks also to Hannah and Oscar Davis. They're aged 12 and 14. We're going to put your song up on the blog in the next week or two, so look out for it then. We really enjoyed listening to all of those. Cheers, listeners. Here's Rufus Wainwright right now, and this is Spotlight on Christmas. Rufus Wainwright there with Spotlight on Christmas. Is that a recent Christmas song that he's done there, James, or is that a one from a few years ago? He's not competing with old Bob Dylan there. We might have a little bit of Bob Dylan Christmas music for you later on, listeners, even.
That would be great.
Yeah, made up Bob Dylan Christmas music.
Oh, that's less great. That's not so great. So listen, I had my hair cut last week.
Nice job. You're looking good, man.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Someone texted in someone's obviously looking at us on the webcam, and someone texted in a text saying they thought I looked like Jim Carrey from Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, a little bit of a bowl
cut. Yeah, here we go. Joe, I strongly advise you change your haircut. You look a bit like Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber.
What? Who's that from?
That's an anonymous coward.
Anonymous. No,
they're very nice. The rest of the text is very nice. And no, I think they're right. I only read it out because I think they're right. Because what happened was he was cutting it really well. Mm-hmm. And I stuck my oar in. Do you ever do this at the barber?
I'm always too timid.
I looked in the mirror. I thought, this isn't quite right yet. I'd better tell him how to do his job.
Hand on the shoulder.
Yeah. So I said, look, I think it should be a bit shorter around the ears. And I started really enjoying this. Yeah, ears are in. Ears are in. Ears are the hot thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, bring the ears out a bit more. I thought, this is right. This is good. I'm improving this haircut. Do you ever do that?
No, I never
do. I shouldn't have stuck my oar in. Because I think it's too short around the ears.
Yeah.
And I've been worried about this. My girlfriend said, she said, it just needs to settle in a bit. She said it needed to grow in. So I've been worrying.
Don't worry. A too short haircut.
And now this text comes. Well, that's just vocalizing my neurosis.
Mm.
I think I look like Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber.
He's very amiable.
It's a sort of a bowl cut. Is it a bowl cut? Well, you can't tell because the headphones are on.
No, I know. I know what they mean. I thought that was what you'd gone for.
But there's a life lesson to be learned, isn't there?
Yeah.
Don't interfere at the hairdresser.
Don't tell the professionals what they're doing. No.
They sometimes tell you to bring a photo in, don't they, of what you want to look like.
What I do is I always am too weedy to say, that seems like a lot you're taking off there. Can you stop, Liz? Because there's always a point where you think, yeah, that's just about right. And then they carry on for 20
they get
minutes.
Carried away. Well, they're chatting about something, aren't they?
Yeah, or listening to weird music or something.
And you think maybe they're not concentrating. They're just on autopilot.
Oh, my lord.
And they've gone too far. But I'm making this announcement publicly. I'm never going to do that again.
No.
I'm just going to trust the hairdresser.
Sure.
And I'd like to advise any young people out there who might make the same mistake in life.
Don't
do that. Trust the expert. Trust the hairdresser.
Yeah.
If you think what they're doing looks a bit wrong, it's not. When you get home, it'll turn beautiful.
Did you have a sexy hairdresser?
No. Well, yeah, sexy man.
Sexy man.
Yeah.
Was he leaning into you a little bit?
No. He doesn't. That's why I'm a repeat customer.
Right.
He doesn't press his Julies against my shoulder.
No. Sometimes it's quite
Which often happens.
Quite erotic.
Really?
Yeah.
When they press their bits against your body.
Sure.
When they're reaching to like, do the sideburns.
I like it.
But then do you not move your elbow away?
No, I lean in. I lean back in.
You reciprocate the
yeah,
pressure.
Yeah, sure I do.
Yeah.
I do it instead of a tip sometimes.
What?
Lean in. Reciprocate.
Listen, you better kick off this free play here, James.
What have you got for us?
This is a bit of Vangelis. This is from the film Laid Lanner. Have you ever seen the film Laid Lanner?
Yes.
It's directed by Lidley Lutt.
Is that how you pronounce it? I never realised.
Yeah, it's about Spaceman and Roberts.
Spaceman and Roberts. Yeah.
And here's a beautiful piece of music.
This is one of the all-time great soundtracks, isn't it?
And we should stop talking over it. This is my favourite version because it's got spaceship noises.
What's it called, this one?
Memories of Green by Vangelis. You need to turn this up, listeners, and chill all the way out. Yeah.
What's he doing there? Is he sipping his whiskey with his blood dripping into it?
Deckard.
Yeah, Deckard.
Something like that, yeah. I'm looking at that film another watch this weekend.
That is one of those films that I happily watch once a year, you know what I mean? That and Alien, in fact, pretty much. And
Terminator 4.
And The Holiday with Russell Crowe. Is it called The Holiday?
No, A Good Year.
A Good Year.
That's the one.
Now, and The Holiday with Jack Black and Cameron Diaz.
Yes. Great movies.
I watch those. Actually, I watch that every month.
Great movies. Great times on BBC Six Music.
Hey, mate.
Yes, Matt.
Did you know there's a couple of DJ fellas, right? They're called Hamish and Andy, and they're big in Australia, back home in Oz.
Of course I do.
Mate.
Did you not know I am Australian?
Yeah, I did know.
Can you not tell by my extremely authentic Australian accent?
Sure, you've been living in Brizzy for a while,
mate. I've been living in watching Neighbours for 10 years ago.
Watching Neighbours. Anyway, Hamish and Andy are coming to BBC Six Music. Do you think in any way they would find this patronising and offensive?
No, they'd love it.
They would love it, mate. Come on, let's go surfing and with the lager, mate. Look, watch out.
It's Scylla again. Scylla's creeping into that voice as well. She's an awful sickness. This is why we're coming off air. Scylla removed from Adam's bones, like you would try and remove adamantium from Wolverine, because it's infected. It's like the Hitler of routines.
It's all merged into one.
What now? We're going to have this jingle from the Australian
DJ.
This
is the trail. Right. We talked up the trail a lot there, listeners, didn't we? We might even include the trail in the podcast now. Come on! Here they are! Hamish and Andy!
On Six Music.
Oh, you're a poor lot in the rain, the snow and the cold of Britain.
Must be so miserable in the drizzle and
the long nights.
It must be awful.
Yeah.
How's the beach today, mate?
Mate, terrific. Great surf. Yeah. How's your barbie?
Oh, perfect weather.
Yeah, really? Awesome.
The hottest thing from down under. Hamish and Andy.
Monday is the shortest day of the year in the UK.
But in Australia, it's the longest,
the hottest,
just generally the best.
We are rubbing that in.
But to warm you all up, Six Music are playing some of the best live tracks from the summer festivals and other generally warming tunes.
And from 4 on Monday, we'll be bringing you a little virtual slice of Australian sunshine via our radio show.
Six Music's Midwinter Warmer. All next week. And join Hamish and Andy Monday afternoon from 4.
On Six Music.
Mate, did you find that Hamish and Andy were a little bit effeminate sounding there?
I thought they were a little bit stereotypical, to be perfectly honest.
Well, they were talking about Barbies and shrimps and stuff like that, weren't they? But I think that was a joke.
Yeah, well, I was sort of joking, mate. I was trying to flip it round.
Double flip!
You flipped it back.
I didn't realise.
You flipped it and killed it. You pulled it out of the tank, popped it on the side and let it die.
Mate, I'm so sorry. Here's R.E.M.
That's a bob chord at the end they've got. R.E.M. with The One I Love. Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. Should we steam into some made-up jokes?
I don't know whether we should steam into them.
Sure. What do you want to do? Waddle into them?
Sidle.
Sidle.
Hmm.
All right, let's sidle into some made-up jokes.
I'm a funny person. I often make up jokes. My jokes are more amusing than those of other folks. When you hear my joke, I think you'll find that you agree. Come on, you're all invited to a made-up joke party.
There we are. And now the made-up jokes section of this show, listeners, is for authored jokes. It's not for bad jokes. or good jokes, or jokes you've heard from somebody else or read. It's for jokes that you've made up yourself.
Because otherwise it would just be a boring jokes section.
Yeah.
And they've got made up jokes, not made up jokes.
Everybody does just funny jokes.
Just funny jokes.
These are jokes specifically authored by our listeners, so they're very, very special. And as you know, we have quite a serious ratification process. We put these jokes through. It involves Googling the keywords and seeing what comes up.
Google the punchline there a little bit.
And if we get hits, then the joke simply isn't read out.
Joe Man, we got sent some homemade
Snowman
crackers.
I know, we should talk about them later, otherwise we'll get feature pile up. We'll get feature.
But these have got jokes in them, haven't they?
Yeah, but we should... Oh, that's true.
Well, let's pull a cracker. These were sent in by Richard Holt in London. He says, please find enclosed 6 Christmas crackers.
Oh, I won.
These are no ordinary high street impulse purchases. No, each of these contain a made-up joke, painstakingly inserted in place of the original by my own fair hand. Thank you so much, Richard Holt. We really appreciate that.
But
we've no idea what kind of jokes he's going to come up with.
I'm going to put my first Christmas hat on.
Christmas hat on, Derek.
This is the first
hat
Christmas
on.
Hat of the year. This is exciting, isn't it?
Isn't it a weenie one. That is exciting.
It's stick going on your top of the old headphones there.
On the old bowl haircut.
It's very nice.
There,
okay, here's the joke. Which was Quentin Tarantino's most disappointing film? It's not such a good one, this one.
Which one?
We opened one earlier. It was quite funny. The answer's Ill Bill. Now, that is a made-up joke, but, of course, that came out of a cracker, so we didn't have a chance to vet that. And when I'm not saying it's a bad joke.
Come on.
It's just not necessarily up to the tip-top
Here's
standards.
The one I got in my cracker, which I pulled earlier on. Which actor is also the best way to open a jar of pickles?
I don't know.
Chris Twistofferson.
You see, that's okay, isn't it?
Nice.
Adam, are you worried that you lost the cracker pull twice today? Do you think you've got bad cracker mojo this
cracker
year?
Cracker karma.
Do you get depressed if you pull a cracker at Christmas? And
it's one of the very few areas that I've managed to be magnanimous in my life.
You've matured your way out of having a
I swear, I no longer throw strops when my sons get the main barrel.
Okay, listen, let's get to the main content. Here are some made-up jokes. This is from the Durkin brothers in Dublin.
Durkin?
So this is a sort of like a songwriting duo equivalent. It's a joke writing
Lieber
duo.
Lieber and Stoller of made-up jokes.
Here's a labored joke that my brother and I made up. Why didn't the 1960s rocker like the Klingon hairpiece he won in the sci-fi convention's Call of Duty competition?
Good setup.
Yeah. Why didn't the 1960s rocker like the Klingon hairpiece he won in the sci-fi convention's Call of Duty competition? Because he saw a mod earn Worf hair too. Now, this is a very contemporary joke because it's the latest video game, right? Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2.
Wow.
Mod earn Worf hair too. Now, you like Star Trek.
Yeah, I'm reeling from the implications.
The Duncan brothers, you are two very clever men. Durkin. Yeah, just think about that. We'll come back to that. Think about
Durkins.
It.
Do you always, are you consciously saying, now you like Star Trek, as one of your
yes,
catchphrases?
Because it winds you up. Yeah, I know you
like
don't
Star
like
Trek,
it.
Like a little
but it
child.
Had a mention of Worf. He's your favourite character.
I really do like Worf.
Inspector Worf, whatever he's called. Did he have his own detective series?
Worf, he should have done, yes. There is a body in the
basement. Do you want another one?
Yes, please. Hey, I'll tell you what, look, I've got a grab bag.
A pick and mix. And these are all made up jokes by listeners.
Yeah, that I printed out and folded up and put in a
awesome
bag.
Bag. Okay, this is from Steve. Why does it say satisfactory at the top?
Because don't worry about the title. That's just I can remember.
Have we read this one before?
I think you read out the punchline.
Yeah, but we've also read the whole joke before. Give me another one.
Don't read out the title in bold.
Sorry, you didn't tell me that.
I'm sorry.
You didn't tell me you typed the punchline at the top.
Don't remind me! It's my procedure!
This is from Harry O'Donnell from Essex. What do you call an elephant who is an actress in EastEnders but is set to gain an environmental role in the House of Lords? That's a good setup.
Come on, Tim Vine. I don't know.
Bar Windsor.
That's good. Bar Windsor.
Harry O'Donnell from Essex. Wow.
Hey, James, you pick one.
That's awesome.
Come on, James. You never get to talk on this show. Have you not here? I'll
come and
this
take
one
your
over.
Headphones off and come round to. Oh, there we go.
Here you go, look. How's that one?
There we go.
There
this
you is
go.
James, our producer.
James Sterling.
It's a special Christmas treat for him.
Okay. What's the favourite cocktail of a CERN physicist?
Ah, good question.
I don't know.
A pina colada.
Pina colada.
Colada. There we go.
Who's that from?
Count Buckley's face. You look like you just won an Oscar or something.
From Nicholas Keith.
This is as close as I'm going to get to winning
an Oscar. Very good.
Here, I've got one. The other day, this is a bit of a long one. The other day I went to see the reformed Nutty Boys in concert. However, instead of playing their hits, such as Baggy Trousers, My Girl and House of Fun, they spent the entire concert lecturing the audience about the use of language and behaviour to minimise offence on gender, racial and cultural grounds. It was madness gone politically correct. That's from Dave Espley in Stockport. Nice one, Dave.
Shouldn't the punchline have been it's PC gone madness? Or something like that, I don't know.
I don't know.
Is that it? Are we having more?
We can have lots more. But should we have some music? Here's Vampire Weekend. And we mentioned before, our friend Garth Jennings has directed the video for this. Go and check it out online. This is Cousins. That's got a kind of Christmassy feel just because of those bells at the end there. Vampire Weekend with Cousins. And Garth, we were mentioning our friend who directed the video there. He played me like a preview copy of the album.
Ooh.
It's amazingly good. They have not fumbled the ball. They've taken everything that made their first album brilliant and sort of done it like it's not a massive departure at all. It sounds like the first album part two, but better.
I haven't got the first album.
That's really good, man. You should get it. Anyway.
Can I read one more made-up joke?
Yeah, please do.
Because that was quite a good one. And maybe we've read this out before, or maybe it's an old one, because it seems to me so very good. It's from a fellow called Jason Ward. I'm just reading it through just to check that I get it right. It's phrased as a sentence rather than a question, so it's not your traditionally structured joke. I'm absolutely convinced that, without question, this is the item of dining room furniture that Frank Black, Darren Heyman, and Thurston Moore all vomited on. It's Indie Spew Table. Come on.
Indie Spew Table.
An Indie Spew Table.
All the kings of indie have spewed on the table.
Yeah, now that's good because this is a music station and that's a music-themed joke.
Yeah.
And that's why I read it out, because I thought it would tickle the boxes.
Very nice.
Tickle the boxes.
Here's one more that I'm picking out from my random bag, right? It's a short one. This is from Robbie Lumsden.
Yes.
Why does the Dalai Lama go to William Hills? Because he loves to bet.
I like it. It's intelligent.
Might not be the first time that's ever been told. I don't know. Might not pass the Google test.
I do know, and it is.
Thanks very much, Robbie Lumsden. Now, next week, listeners, our show is pre-recorded, our special Christmas show, and me and Joe are exchanging gifts. And who knows, Joe might get a
lot of mastication there.
Sorry, I was swallowing a little bit of
Boggins.
Who knows, Joe might get a very special musical gift.
Oh.
This is like a tease to something Joe might be getting next week. Because Joe's favourite artist, of course, is Bob Dylan. And Joe's favourite album is Bob Dylan's Christmas album. So who knows? Maybe he'll be getting something that sounds a little bit like this. Here's a special made-up Bob Dylan Christmas song.
Santa has been here. You can smell him still, I think. Whiskey and reindeer. A little drink. While it works, it's one of the Christmas perks. He slides into your house with his sack of gifts. He uses the chimney pipe. He doesn't like to use the door. He very seldom uses lifts. He's a cheeky man, he's got a beard. Some people think he's kind of weird. He's in your property. Comes and goes. What else is he doing there? No one really knows, but we love him. Cause he's got the merchandise and he's handing it out to the people who are nice. Thank you so much, Santa. I really wanted this. In return, I'm gonna give you a mince pie and a kiss. Santa advertises a popular soft drink. Some people say that he's sold out. That's the only way the man can make a living. Nobody else is paying him for flying round and giving. Santa has been here. You can smell him still, I think. Whiskey and reindeer. But it's not cool to drive and drink. Santa has a special way of doing it, I think, which does not endanger his fellow road users and also the people in the sky. That's why Santa is my kind of guy.
That was so long. How long did that last for?
It was only a minute and a half.
A minute and a half. I think you've invented time travel. Seriously, I think they should scrap the CERN collider. That was good, though. That was very good.
That's another one of your catchphrases, isn't it? There's, you like Star Trek, don't you? And then there's, that was good, though. That was very good. At the end... the end of something which you clearly
detested. Oh, that was good.
Detested.
That was very, very good. I didn't detest it.
You didn't detest it.
I've been doing the jigsaw I got in that cracker.
Yeah,
and,
Joe was doing the jigsaw that he got in the cracker. And then after the song, he says, you've invented a new form of time travel, which appears to stretch time into an unbearably long period.
Hey, I didn't say unbearable.
That's what was implied.
It was bearable.
How long is that? A minute and a half. Wow. That seemed a lot
It's a festive torpedo with tinsel wrapped around it, fired straight into your face as a gift from Jesus and Santa.
Thank you, Jesus. Here's the last of my free plays today, listeners. Did you even consider writing like a little goodbye speech, Terry Wogan style?
For the listeners?
Yeah.
No, because I don't feel well. I mean, we're going away for a little break.
Yeah.
We're coming back. It's not terminal.
Sure, sure. You say that, but to me it feels like the end of a chapter at least.
It's certainly an end of a season.
Yeah.
Yeah?
And I've enjoyed this chapter so much, you know. I'm not going to go into it. I know, we both have. We all have. But I'm really going to miss doing this show, you know. So I'm not going to do a big, long Terry Wogan speech. Otherwise, I will start crying. But I'm going to play a Scott Walker song that I really love for you listeners. This is Rhymes of Goodbye. Julian Casablancas with I Wish It Was Christmas Today. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. It's just gone 12:30. It's time for the news. The mighty Supergrass with Grace. Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. How are you doing, listeners?
Here's an email we got from Chuck and Darlene from Maine in America. Mm. Hey, guys, we can't believe you'll be gone from the radio for so long. We have an idea to keep you going. How much work does Joe really do to prep for the show? Couldn't he direct his film and phone in his participation on the show? Joe often seems to not really know what's going on anyway. For example, quotes, Is this my free play? Quotes, what's the name of that song? Quotes, how do you pronounce that? You could even pre-record some of Joe's common phrases. Quotes, you love Star Trek. And quote, that was good, that was good. And play them as necessary. The rest of the time could be filled with anecdotes from the filmmaking process. Of course, Joe would have to give Adam half his salary, since Adam would have to read all the emails and texts during the week and think of topics for Text the Nation. One other thought, maybe Black Squadron could pitch in with a different guest host for the first half hour of the show, giving Joe an extra half hour of sleep. There's some good ideas there, don't you
all
think?
All interesting ideas. I mean, we considered all of them.
They're right in saying that I have a limited series of phrases. I tend to say, that's good. Oh, that's good.
Wow.
And nice.
On. We're all operating from the stock phrases. I mean, I've got to
stop
myself.
Do you know what
going,
I mean?
Yeah. Huh?
Or I also say, is that right?
I say cool. Mm. Yeah, I say yeah, yeah, yeah. I say right.
If there was an Adam Buxton novelty plastic toy and it had four buttons on the back with common Buckley's phrases on them, programmed into them, what would they be?
Yeah, would be one.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Oh, I don't know.
One of them would
Laura,
be, hey,
Laura.
Yeah, they'd be Laura. There'd be a bit of Boggins shuffling. They'd be, hey, your Fonzie thing.
Hey, what's that?
You go, hey, listeners.
Hey, listeners.
You don't even remember that you do it,
I'm
you
not
see.
Aware
You're
of
not
it.
Self-aware.
I'm not sentient.
Yeah. What would mine be?
I don't know. I don't really like the tone of that email, though. Because I think it's too reductive. They are underestimating the role that you play. And I'm going to miss you, man.
Well, that's nice of you to say. There's truth in the fact that I've slacked a bit over the last
few months. There's no truth in
that.
Months
I have.
None truth. You know, you're going to do your film. That's really exciting. And I know it's going to be amazing, but I'm really going to miss you doing this show. And you've got your arms folded there because
sincerity makes me uncomfortable.
I'm going to come and give you a hug.
Say it sarcastically.
No, I'm not going to give you a hug. I'm not insane.
I do smell a bit.
Hey, so listen, cycling. Earlier this week, right? I had a little weird contretemps with my wife. It does happen from time to time.
Oh, no.
This one, excuse me, was based on the fact that I came into the house.
Oh, God. Why do you do that all the time?
I can't help it. And I found by the CD player, which is very seldom used, I'm ashamed to say, in the house, a Take That Greatest Hits CD.
Oh.
It was
there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, no, not per se. It was new, right? So I'm thinking, what the heckins? And so I said very casually later while we were watching television, did you buy that Take That Greatest Hits CD? Immediately the bristles came up. Mm. She started to bristle. Why? Was the
provocative
was the retort. I was like, well, so immediately I'm aware of the bristles. And I said, well, because I was just, you know, surprised. That's all. I didn't realize you were like such a big Take That fan. She says, why? Because it's the only CD in the house. I would say the only CD she has bought in the last, well, as long as I've known her. And it's Take That's Greatest Hits. Also, I own Take That's Greatest Hits. It was in a, you know, it's in my office. So it's not actually
it's in the
house.
Office.
It's in the office where I need it for my office business.
One of those is a sort of vital bit of stationery.
Exactly. Right. 10:30. Relight my fire. So I said, you know, I've got a copy of Take That's Greatest Hits. She's like, well, I didn't know that. How would I possibly know you've got it? I was like, well, I've got a lot of CDs. I've got a load. Before you go and buy a CD, like Take That's Greatest Hits, why don't you just mention to me that you're interested in Take That?
Because this is really what this is a beautiful moment where you both share a love for the same band. And instead it's turned into an awful
it was a bit of acrimony.
Altercation.
Yeah, it was a shame.
It should have brought you together.
And then then there's a little bit of a silence. She said, well, I didn't know. How am I supposed to know you've got Take That's Greatest Hits? I wouldn't have thought you did. I was like, I've got loads. I've got very Catholic taste. I've got 10,000 CDs or something. One of them is bound to be a greatest hit CD by one of the greatest bands of the last few decades, I said. And then there was a little bit of a silence. And then I said, so what's your favourite Take That song then? At that point, I was needling her, and she didn't like that very much. And she said, I she wouldn't answer. I said, is it the, what's the 70s one, the disco one called, the one they covered? I don't know. Yes, you do know. I said, come on, you know what it is. Relight my fire. Do you like that one? She wasn't playing along by that point.
Well, of course not.
You reckon?
Yeah, because you'd made it so that by answering those questions, you'd won in a way.
I really didn't want to turn it into a confrontation. This is exactly what she said to me. Yeah. You know? But I really, it was honestly not a confrontation. But I was curious. I was like, what? She bought it from one of those, like at the checkout.
But I think I need to solve this problem for you.
Yeah.
Because you can't start the contretemps, then stop it. It's up to her to stop it if you start it.
Yeah, she doesn't stop. She doesn't wrap them up nicely, though. She leaves it
hanging. The contretemps. Well, you're not in no position to say that because you started it.
I know, but I wanted to wrap it up. I wanted to get in there a little bit more.
It's good. You can have a. We'll try it again over Christmas. Christmas is a great time for provoking unnecessary friction.
I'm going to do a lot of it. No, the reason she bristled was because a lot of the time she comes back with romantic comedies that she's bought at the supermarket, and you know, and she doesn't like it when I mention them because. The implication seems to be that she has totally wasted her money on some pile of old dog rubbish with Cameron Diaz in it or whatever. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
Anyway, I love Take That. I wish we had some to play, but we don't. Here's Animal Collective instead. Animal Collective there with What Would I Want?
We've only got Sky. 13 minutes of live radio left for this current... we can't really call it a season, can we? What can we call it? A box of shows.
Run.
So we're going to play another record, and then there's going to be some exciting and conclusive Boggins action. This is a... Now, who was saying I never knew the names of my own free plays just then?
Those Americans.
Those Americans.
The Americans that emailed in.
They're so completely right, because I don't know the name of this song, but it's by Anne Sexton. It's brilliant. It's Anne Sexton with a song called Of Course You're Losing Me. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. If you were listening earlier, you would have heard a non-combative song wars based around the little dog that comes into the studio every now and then, Boggins, the smelly, stinky, ill, old dog who you want to hug but you can't because he's so stinky.
Boggins first came into our lives when we returned from our summer break this year, and almost immediately divided listeners very sharply.
A schism.
People were writing in apparently serious messages saying, I've really enjoyed your shows over the last few years, but now I'm going to stop listening because of this dog. And then other listeners really loved the little chap. It was hard to know what to do about him. Mm. We've done a little Christmas panto, though, for you listeners to hopefully resolve things for this chapter of the programme. Do you like Christmas pantos, Joe?
I absolutely adore them. I've got a huge collection of them.
on DVD?
No, I actually buy the actors and the venues. Yeah, yeah, I'm a multimillionaire, and when I see a really good panto, I buy the venue, I buy the actors for life, and I just have it running all the time.
You keep them going all year round.
I keep them going all year round. So if I'm in that neck of the woods, I can pop in.
Good idea.
And have some festive fun.
You know who is one of my favourite panto stars?
Who?
Brian Blessed.
Not Christopher Boggins.
Christopher Boggins. He's the guy we should have got for this panto. Anyway, here's the Adam and Joe Boggins panto, listeners.
Stop it, Simon! No!
You sent her?
Well, more or less, yes. And what do you want for Christmas, young man?
A remote control tank.
A tank?
And a gun.
Ooh.
And a bomb.
Ooh, well, those are terribly violent presents, young man. I know. What about a lovely little puppy?
Is it remote control?
Yes, sort of. If you shout at him loud enough, sometimes he stops what he's doing.
Okay, then. I'll have that.
Oh, fantastic.
And a gun.
Ah, well, yes, you might need it. I'm joking, of course. Simon!
Yes, right.
Fetch Boggins!
Will do.
Here he comes now. Don't worry about the smell, young man. It's normal. He's perfectly fine.
I love you. I'm just going to bite the back of your legs and your face as well. Not badly, just a little bit. I love you.
Careful, Boggins. Don't frighten the boy.
All right, then, Santa. Oh, I left a little present for you under the tree.
Oh.
I won't tell you what it is, but give it a squeeze. I think you'll like it. It's a poo. Right. Off you go then, Boggins. Go with a nice young man. All right, cheers, bye. Bye.
I love you. Bye.
I love you too. Bye. Oh, thank God I can finally take this suit off.
Brian Blessed and Simon Callow's house there.
That's very heartwarming. So Boggins has gone off to live with a little orphan boy.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's a very happy ending for him. He's a very old dog. It's going to saddle that boy with a quite sort of, well, he's going to die very soon.
Yeah, also the upkeep while he's alive of the dog, the maintenance, is going to stretch the boy beyond his limits, I would think. Yeah,
I mean, where does the boy live? On the streets?
Yeah, he lives. He's homeless.
So watch out for the boy and Boggins begging around the streets of Britain this Christmas, listeners.
Here's Orange Juice. That's an unusual version, or at least not the version I'm familiar with, of Poor Old Soul by Orange Juice.
Good stuff, though.
A lot of people out there thinking, yes, it's not the version I'm familiar with either. I imagine my mum will be phoning up about that.
That's not the normal version of Poor Old Soul that I normally see. The Orange Juice.
Anyway.
But listen, listeners, that's it for us for a little bit. We'll be back some way into next year. Thank you very much to James, our producer, for all the amazing work he's done for the last 2 years.
Yeah, to Lucy, who's helping us out, Xanthi, to Charlotte, Brian, Jude and Claire, of course, our producers from way back, all the team here at Six Music.
And thanks to everybody at Six Music, which you guys should really explore. If you don't already listen to everything on the station, there's some amazingly good stuff. So, stay listening, basically, is what we're trying to say.
Don't forget that we'll be around every now and again on the blog as well. Go and check out our Six Music blog.
Yeah, we'll keep the blog alive. And we should say thank you to everybody who's written and texted the show, especially quite a few people wrote us some quite emotional letters.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't they?
They really did. And about
very touched and very nice.
Listening when they've been having hard times or whatever, and it's cheered them up. And we really appreciate that more than we
really
can say.
Do read every single thing that has been sent. So if we don't talk about it on air, rest assured it has been read and absorbed.
And appreciated.
Yeah.
You know, the weird ones we've ignored.
And stay in touch via the blog, because we'll definitely be visiting that blog and posting on it, and stuff will be uploaded. So hang out there. It's what's the address? bbc.co.uk/blogs/Adam and Joe.
I've got a blog as well, listeners. You know, stay in touch via that as well, adam-buxton.co.uk. I'd love to see you at a gig or whatever. I'll be doing various live things. But that's it for us.
And don't forget, this show will be available as a podcast on Monday, and then from Tuesday, the 12 podcasts of Christmas start, so there'll be a sort of retro Adam and Joe podcast that you might have missed going up every day of next week.
Yeah.
To help you if you are feeling any sort of withdrawal symptoms.
Having said all this, we've got our pre-recorded Christmas show.
Exactly. We'll actually
this time
be
next week
on Boxing Day.
So take care, listeners. Have a wonderful Christmas. All the best for 2010. Here's an amazing song by The Pogues. I can never hear this one too much. Stay tuned for Liz Kershaw. She's coming up next. Love you. Bye.
Bye.
was Christmas Eve, babe. In the drunk tank, an old man said to me, won't see another one. And then he sang a song, the rare old mountain tune. I turned my face away and dreamed about you. Got on a lucky one, came in 18 to 1. I've got a feeling this year's for me and you. So happy Christmas, I love. I can see a better time when all our dreams come true.
You promised me Broadway was waiting for me. You were handsome,
you were pretty queen of New York City.
When the band finished playing, they held out for more. Sinatra was swinging, all the drunks they were singing. We kissed on the corner, then danced through the night.